If you open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, we'll begin a study tonight there in chapter 11, focusing on the verses 1 through 7. Chapter 11, verses 1 through 7. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made with the things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. A key concern in this epistle in the Hebrews is that Christians remain faithful and strong. There is a danger of developing a heart of unbelief, as the writer tells us in chapter 3 in verse 12. It was the lack of faith that destroyed Israel in the wilderness. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 16 and following. In the chapter 10, what we would see is the exhortation for us all as Christians to draw near to God, to draw near with a heart of full assurance of faith. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22. And in an admonition for every Christian to have faith which endures until the end, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 and through verse 39. But one might ask, in all of this, what is faith which leads to the saving of the soul? What is faith, and how does faith manifest itself in the lives of those who possess it? In chapter 11, what we find is the answers to such questions, with the definition of faith being in Hebrews 11 and verse 1 that we just read. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And with the mention of how necessary faith is in order to please God in verse 6, when the Hebrew writer very clearly writes, without faith it's impossible to please God. And with the examples of the Old Testament saints who demonstrated saving faith in Hebrews chapter 11 verses 3 all the way through the end in verse 40. In this lesson, I'm hoping to focus on our attentions to the first seven verses to examine the faith that pleased God. And if you will, in these, we'll look at what I would call the key to faith that pleases God. In verses 1 through 3, faith is explained. And as we look at this, faith is confidence and conviction. And now that faith is the substance of things hoped for, it says. That Greek word for substance is translated from a Greek term that is pronounced hupotestis. And as we look at this word, what it literally means is that to stand under. In other words, to be a foundation. Our faith, the substance of our faith, is something that has foundation. It's not weak, it's not shaky, it's not unsure. Faith is something that is sure, the NIV says. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the New Revised Standard says. Translated in Hebrews 3 and 14, it means confidence. Our faith is something that has got substance. It's something that you can stand upon. It's something that gives you confidence to walk the walk and to live spiritual lives in Christ Jesus. And we know that that foundation and that strength of our faith is Jesus Christ Himself. He's the rock of our salvation. His Word is the rock upon which we stand. We need this kind of assurance. And also, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now think about that. It's the evidence of things not seen. That Greek term is translated evidence, elenkos, and it means conviction. In other versions, it's translated as certainty of the things which we do not see. The conviction of things which we do not see. That's what faith is. It's a conviction, a certainty for everyone who has obtained it. And pertaining to the things that are hoped for and not seen, faith is that confidence. It's the coming of the Lord that we have confidence in. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. What kind of confidence is it that the Old Testament saints had? It was the kind that pleased God, Hebrews 11 and 2. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. They had great confidence in the coming of the Lord. And we have a greater confidence that the Jesus Himself will return from heaven. He told us that in John chapter 14 and verse 3. He said He was going to go to heaven and He was going to prepare a place for all of those who believe, and He was going to come again to receive them unto Himself. And our faith stands on that solid foundation, and we have great confidence in that. That's what our hope is all about. That Jesus Himself will return. That the resurrection of the dead will take place. The knowledge that everyone who keeps the faith, doing the will of God, will be raised up one day to meet the Lord in the air and shall abide with Him forevermore there. That's our faith. That's that confidence that we have. That's the hope that we have. And that's what keeps us going, is our faith. Pertaining to the things hoped for and not seen. We think of faith as a conviction about the things that we haven't seen. Very powerfully, a conviction of the things that we haven't seen. In other words, the existence of God. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 16 that whom no man has seen pertaining to God or can see. But we know God exists. Our faith rests upon everything that is made to teach us that God is real. That all these things were not an accident. That the trees and the mountains and the stars in the heavens and the sun and the moon and everything in creation teaches us of God's amazing power of creation. Even though we don't see God with our eyes as a being, we see everything that He made, and we understand from the things that are made that He is and that He is powerful. How the world began. Hebrews 11:3 tells us that the world began, they were framed together by the Word of God. They were framed together by the Word of God. That's not something you can see. It's something that is unseen. That the Word of God spoke out. And things came into being. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit hovered above the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. That's how powerful the Creator is. He just spoke things into existence. And when we think of the many witnesses to the resurrection, witnesses to Christ and His ministry upon the earth, these many witnesses, He healed the sick. They saw it. He raised Lazarus from the dead. They saw it. They saw some who were once dead and now alive. They saw it. They saw the blind healed, the lame to walk. They saw it. And we have that great cloud of witnesses around us from the beginning of time, from the days of Israel coming out of Egypt until now. A cloud of witnesses. It's not something that we can't accept. But godly faith is a strong conviction that such matters are true. And that's the faith that we have. That's the key to pleasing God. In verse 2, it's expressed as the elders who have obtained a good testimony because of their faith. You that are here tonight and those who have the faith that can move mountains, the faith that can heal the blind, the lame, and the deaf, the faith that will bring us one day and usher us into the arms of the Lord, to the throne of our God and King. You have that kind of faith. It's a wonderful faith, a moving faith. And there are great illustrations in this book. The antediluvians, those people who were before the flood. The Bible tells us much about them. Faith exemplified the testimony of Abel. That's the faith worshiping God. The reference to God is in Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 through 5. Cain's offering was made to God from the fruit of the ground. And Abel's offering was the firstborn of his flock. And when we look at this, it is said that the Lord accepted Abel's offering, but not Cain's. In the Scriptures, they tell us why. Why is it that Abel's offerings were accepted and not Cain's? It was because of the faith. Hebrews 11:4. The faith that Abel offered God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, which he obtained witness that he was righteous. That's the faith that pleases God. The testifying of his faith, his gift to God. Certainly, it testifies of his righteousness. And it shows respect in his offering. Your being here tonight is an offering to God, showing your respect to the awesome Creator, showing your faith to be here, to give up the other things in this life, to be here, to worship and to hear the Word of God. And certainly Jesus bore witness to the righteousness of Abel. Think of that the Master Himself mentions Abel. He talked about the righteous blood of Abel that was shed upon the earth. Jesus bore him witness, as he will bear you witness. The Apostle John, he wrote of Cain's work and how evil it was in 1 John 3:12. Which witness do we want before God? And we want the witness of Abel. To offer sacrifices sweet, savory to God. And such power and faith that Abel had through his being dead still speaks. His example of faith is written for our learning, Paul said. His example of faith continues to warn us. At the same time, admonishing us in regards to acceptable worship of God. And faith exemplified the testimony of Enoch. That's faith walking. That's faith in motion. That's faith doing something. You know, by faith, Enoch was translated so that he did not see death, the Scriptures tell us. Imagine that. Somebody who walked with God. Their faith was such that it pleased God in every way. God found pleasure in Enoch, and he walked with him. And his example of faith illustrates the value of walking with God throughout every day of our lives. We talked about prayer this morning, and that's a way to walk with God. Reading your Bible is a way to walk with God. Hearing the words is a way to walk with God. Speaking properly the words of God is a way to walk with God. And Lord willing, next week we'll talk about singing. And that's a way to walk with God. And that brings us to faith exemplified. A working faith. The testimony of Noah himself. By faith, Noah moved with godly fear, the Scripture says. He moved. He didn't sit. He moved with godly fear. It's such a great example for us all. To think of Noah and his example when God said build the ark, he moved with godly fear. And he built that ark according to the commandments of the Lord. As Christians, we need to be those who move to build the church here upon the earth, to continue to add living stones and to continue to share the words of Jesus, continue to do the work that the Lord has called us to do. That's doing and mimicking what Noah did that pleased God so much. By faith, Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his household. On this earth, we are preparing people to an entrance into heaven, eternal. Through such faith, Noah condemned the world, the Scripture says. Why did he condemn the world? Because he was righteous and he did what God had commanded him to do, and the world was unrighteous and refused to obey God. His own example of faithfulness stood in contrast to all the others around him. And his obedience, it magnified, it made bigger the lack of obedience in other people. Made it much easier to see. We think of those in Nineveh, those who Jesus said would condemn those who did not listen to Jesus. Those men of Nineveh who would rise up in judgment against that generation. Why? Because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. The men in the days of Noah did not repent at the righteous preacher's preaching. They continued to live in sin, causing agony to God. Such a lack of faith. But there's a greater than Jonah who is here, the Scriptures tell us. And that is Jesus. And he is the author and finisher of our faith. Became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith, verse 7. And he received the praise being right in the eyes of God. It was faith in motion that pleases God. There are so many in the world today who live on faith only. There's no motion, there's nothing to work, it's just simple mental ascent up into heaven. But God, he wants walking faith. He wants moving faith. He wants faith in motion. James himself said, you see how faith without works is dead, being alone. We need motion that pleases God. And again, being here pleases God. And in verse 6, faith emphasized. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And we've seen how Abel and Enoch and Noah obtained a good testimony because of their faith. And we need to mirror that. Let our faith be before us as we walk, as we talk, and as we live. And their faith did just that. Enoch in particular, it said he pleased God. And we want to be a people who please God. The key to faith isn't something about me. It's not something about you. The key to faith is something about Him. It's accepting what He said and obeying what He said. Living and walking in God. And that's an example that we have, whether we're worshiping, whether we are walking or working faith. It must be the motivating factor behind everything that we do. Remember the question that the disciples asked Jesus, what must we do that we work the works of God? And Jesus, His answer was pretty simple. This is the work of God that you believe in Him whom He sent. Our faith begins in belief that Jesus came down from heaven, that He walked among us, that He did those miracles and signs and wonders. Our faith begins with the fact that He was born of a virgin. Our faith, it has a beginning in the fact that He brought the message of salvation, the good news, all the way down from heaven. And doing the work of God begins by believing the message, believing the gospel. That's the faith that pleases God. And that includes conviction. He who believes that God is somebody who is convicted, not somebody who is not sure, not somebody who is maybe, but somebody who believes that God is. There's no room there for doubt. A conviction that includes confidence. I believe that everyone here tonight has that confidence. Those of us who are a part of the body of Christ, there are those who are diligently seeking God. And we know that He's a rewarder to those who diligently seek Him. It includes that conviction that God is. That we believe that He is the God of the Bible. He's not just a God like any other God. But He's the God. The God of creation. The sovereign God who's God over all. Even though we don't see Him, we're convicted in the things that we do not see. That's what faith is all about. It includes a confidence that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That's who God is. That's what faith is all about. David told his son Solomon, he said, serve Him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. Serve God with a loyal heart and a willing mind. And that's the way we must come to God in faith. Because the Lord, He searches all the hearts and He understands the intents and the thoughts that we have. And if we seek Him, David told Solomon, He will be found by you. And that's what faith is all about. Diligently seeking after God. And it's regarding the things that are hoped for. All those things that we have confidence in. Those things that we know will be. Such kind of faith that was seen by Abel. Faith that was seen by Enoch. And faith that was seen by Noah. The kind of faith that's seen in the saints who are living proof of faith. So how do we develop such faith? It's not a result of credulity. It's not willingness to believe or trust in something that can't be seen. Or something especially without proper or adequate evidence. We're not a gullible people. That's a very common misconception about faith. Faith is something that can be proven. It's logic and it's reason. It's something that one knows, not simply believes. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21, God, who is the inspired writer of all the Scriptures, breathed all the Scriptures out, He tells us plainly to test all things and to hold fast to what is good. If you have a sincere heart and you're really seeking to have faith, you test everything in the Word of God and you'll have faith. That's what the Lord wants. He doesn't want us to say, okay, I believe the Bible and I don't even have to read it. I just believe it. He wants you to read the Bible. He wants you to test it against itself and against history and even archaeology, against everything that we can muster up, and you'll find that this is true. Many men have come to faith by trying to prove that it wasn't true. It just takes a step to prove it, to test all things, and just simply hold on to what is good. Historians have proven many things, but the Bible itself is our most powerful proof. The Lord calls us in the Bible again to seek out evidence, to find that evidence that proves in creation all the things that are made which show us of His power, His Godhead, and His might, is what Paul tells us to look for. You can't look at everything in this world, including our bodies, and the science behind it, and not understand that things aren't accidental. They're too complex. I read an article from a science magazine that simply defined DNA as so complex, they said that it would be like taking every letter of every word out of a complete encyclopedia set, cutting every letter out, and putting it all in a big box, shaking it up, and have all 54 volumes come out when you shake it back in the proper form, in the proper words, everything exactly the way that it was. What are the chances of that happening? That's how complex our DNA is. It's not an accident of lightning striking primordial sludge. Faith has a foundation. It's a result of evidence. Just look. Just look. The antediluvian saints, they had such evidence. God spoke to them directly. But today, all true faith comes by hearing the Word of God. It presents us evidence to believe in God, because we can test the Word, we can look at it, we can compare it. If we have a heart that is true, and a heart that seeks truth, it's filled with prophecies that have been proven and fulfilled, not only in the Bible, but in the secular sense. Eyewitness testimonies. It's all there. The Word of Jesus and His disciples, it's all there. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2, God, who at various times and in various ways in time past spoke to the fathers through the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us through His Son, whom He has appointed heir to all things. It's all there. It's there for our examination. Put it under the microscope of your mind and prove it wrong and find that it's right. We stand on a solid foundation. It's not shaky. The Word of God proves itself if we're willing to hear it. And through God's Word, we can develop the kind of faith that convicts us. The faith that moves us to be here tonight. The faith that moves us to be here Wednesday. The faith that moves us to be here Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon. And again, on a night like this. That's the kind of faith that the Bible will give you. Think about it. The faith which leads to the saving of the soul is one that includes a strong conviction that God is, a strong confidence that He will reward those who diligently seek Him. It's the kind of faith that we see in Abel and how he worshiped God, Enoch and how he walked with God, and Noah and how he worked for God. Do you have that same kind of faith today? And if you don't, let the Word of God create faith in you. That's what God's Word, which is the power unto salvation, does. It can lift you up. It can lead you down the pathway of understanding. But you have to open your hearts to the Word. Not just hearing it, but allowing it to be processed. Challenge the Word. Challenge the Word. And after having challenged God's Word and looking at it honestly with an open mind, I believe anyone would have faith. If you don't let the Word of God create such faith in you, it can. If you would allow it to do that, it can produce faith in the existence of God. It can produce faith in Jesus Christ, His Son, who died for us all. Let the Word of God affect the manner in which you live, the way you worship, the way that you walk with God, and the way you work for God. Look in your Bibles in Hebrews chapter 11, and in verse 32, we want to read a little bit from here. As we close this thought of faith and how marvelous it is, I want you to look at some of the evidences. Everything that we read from here on can be proven. It can be proven secularly. It can be proven through archaeology. It isn't fables. These things really did happen. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth, and all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. That better thing was Jesus. That all, from the very beginning of time until now, can be saved by Him. In chapter 12, verse 1, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Have you not obeyed the gospel tonight? Are you not a member of the body of Christ? Can you hear these words? Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Those people who were sawn in two. Those people who were killed by the sword. Those people who were burned and scourged and imprisoned. Those people who were destitute, all keeping the faith. Such a great cloud of witness. We need to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. So great a cloud of witnesses. So great a cloud of witnesses. Think about what's being said. Our faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of not things not seen. But the hope for and the evidence and the substance are solid things. The Word of God is a solid thing. What Jesus did at Calvary is a solid thing. His invitation to you to be saved and be a part of His kingdom on this earth and one day be delivered up to heaven is a solid thing. It's not something that we can't see. It's solid. The Word of God is clear. And there is such a great a cloud of witnesses of those here tonight who have already obtained that promise, who have already been baptized into Christ, who have obeyed the gospel. It's a solid thing. We live in a world that tells us there is no God. But they can't prove how things came into being. And we know there is a God. We're going to sing a song of invitation, song number 340, I Gave My Life for Thee. Jesus died on that cross for you. If you've not been baptized into Christ, you need to make that step. If you're not ready, then you should examine the Scriptures, examine the faith. Prove it right, prove it wrong. But don't be idle. Don't sit on the sidelines. Because your soul is at stake. If you've heard the gospel and you're willing to accept that, the water's ready. We're here to baptize you into Christ this night. If we're Christians who have gone astray, then we know that the Lord will forgive us if we simply confess our sins and repent. We're here to help you tonight while we stand and while we sing.